السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم
أعوذ
السلام.
بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا والشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين المنتجبين، لا سيما مولانا وسيدي صاحب الأسر والزمان، روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء، وأجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف ولعنة دائمة على أعدائهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. For the love of Amir al-Mu'mineen and for the hastening of the return of our awaited Savior Imam al-Hujjah, one loud salawat upon Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum. My dear brothers and sisters in Iman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As'alullahu ayyamakum. May Allah give us all the blessings of this beautiful day that we have just gone through, and when in the remembrance of the birth of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the commander of the faithful, the prince of the believers, the one who is known as Asadullah al-Ghalib, the one who is the only one to have been given the pride and the honor. Actually, let me rephrase that. The Kaaba was given the pride and the honor of hosting the birth of the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wassalam. Because without a doubt, as we've heard from the poetry that has just been recited, that Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam has his own distinction, his own sharaf, his own worth, his own greatness, his own nobility. The Kaaba, it receives its greatness as being, yes, the house of Allah, as Allah says in Surah Ali Imran, where Allah says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةً مُبَارَكًا هُدًى لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Yeah, that Allah says, yes, the very first house that was established for humanity as a house of worship is that one in Bakkah, which Allah calls as a place of guidance for all of humanity. And this same house of guidance for all of humanity, the same house which people circumambulate in the tawaf when they make the umrah or the hajj, the same house in which we turn towards five times a day in our daily prayers, the same house of worship that we give respect to wherever on earth we may be, is the same house that was blessed and was honored to be the staging ground for the birth of the best of creations after Rasulullah, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wassalam. But keep in mind, brothers and sisters, as we celebrate this grand celebration this evening, and it's so great to see so many of the faces on the majlis tonight, this being my first time speaking to you in 1 year, almost to the day, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this tawfiq to be able to address the community of Kitchener tonight, that keep in mind that not only is Amir al-Mu'mineen the one whom we celebrate tonight of his birth, but we also need to give respect to the one or the ones who brought him into this world. That is his beloved father, Hazrat Abu Talib, the mu'min of Quraysh, alayhi salatu wassalam, the man who we owe so much to, a man who was unwavering in his support for Rasulullah, a man who was the one who brought Imam Ali into this world. And obviously the mother, Fatima bint Asad, alayhi salatu wassalam, a woman who was so loved by Allah, a woman who is so cherished by Allah that we could even safely say that her status overshadows even the women of the past. For example, you look at Sayyida Maryam bint Imran, alayhi salatu wassalam, the beloved mother of Prophet Isa, Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. And when she is in the pains of labor and she is in a holy sanctuary, she receives revelation, she receives inspiration that this, O Maryam, is not a maternity ward. It is not a house of delivering a child. This is a house of worship, and so you need to leave. But subhanAllah, when Fatima bint Asad alayha salam is standing in front of the Kaaba, and there are the mushrikeen of Quraysh, because keep in mind, Amir al-Mu'mineen is born in the month of Rajab, which even the pre-Islamic Arabs gave respect to. They cherished Rajab. It had a sanctity. It had a special spiritual nature to it, even for the Jahli Arabs. And so they were around the Kaaba, and they see Fatima bint Asad walking towards the Kaaba, holding her stomach in pain. And she begins to raise her hands to Allah, and she says to Allah, and I paraphrase her dua, she says, "Oh Allah, I believe in you, and I believe in that which you have sent down upon the previous prophets like Abraham and Ismail." And so she asks Allah, "Oh Allah, I ask you by the right, bihaqqi, the right of the one who I carry in my womb to make my labor easy." And then the historians say that this is where the Kaaba splits open. And Fatima bint Asad alayha salam proceeds to walk in. And who narrates this tradition or these traditions is none other than the disbelievers who are astonished and looking upon the Kaaba with this amazement and bewilderment of how can the Kaaba split. And as historians say, that as they go and they call the chief of the Quraysh who have the key to the door of the Kaaba to open the door, they say no matter how much they try, the door cannot be opened. And then eventually, as we know, and I'll make this event short before I move it on my theme for tonight, we are told that after 3 days, as we heard from the poetry, that Fatima bint Asad alayha salam emerges from within the Kaaba. What did she eat for 3 days, brothers and sisters? What did she drink? How does a woman deliver her own child with nobody there to help her, to cut the umbilical cord, to clean the baby, to give all of those introductory needs that a baby will have when the child comes into this world? That is a mystery, because the hadith don't tell us what happened in those 3 days inside the Holy Kaaba, but she emerges with the baby in her arms. And as the historians tell us, that the first individual that Amir al-Mu'mineen glances upon, obviously other than his mother, is Rasulullah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It is this individual, brothers and sisters, that we mark his birth anniversary tonight. A man of unique characteristics, a unique birth, a unique family, a unique life. And really, were we to try and understand every aspect of the life of the Commander of the Faithful, we would be at odds. It would be, I would say, impossible to understand this man, this multidimensional man, whom nobody till today has actually been able to really understand and grasp the greatness of this individual. Tonight, however, I want to do just one aspect and look at one aspect of the life of Amir al-Mu'mineen, and that is the symbiosis, the relationship between Ali alayhi salam and the Holy Quran. Now, we have a very famous hadith that I'm sure we've heard multiple times that I want to begin this program with tonight, which comes to us from our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And this is a hadith, brothers and sisters. Keep in mind that Shia and Sunni have all narrated. Unfortunately, you have the likes of Ibn Taymiyyah, the propagator, the scholar of the Salafi / Wahhabi ideology, the one whom people like ISIS and Daesh and Taliban and Al-Qaeda look towards for spiritual guidance. A man like him looks at this hadith, which his predecessors of the greatest scholars have quoted this hadith, and he rejects the tradition, saying that this is a fabrication of the Shia. But we reject this individual and his ideology, because all of the major Muslim scholars have narrated this hadith in their books. And in this tradition, our beloved Prophet is quoted as saying, "Aliun ma'al Qur'an, wal Qur'anu ma'a Ali, lan yaftarika hatta yarida alayya al-hawd." The Messenger of Allah is quoted as saying, "Ali is with the Quran, and the Quran is with Ali." And then he says, "The two will never separate from one another and will meet me at the pool, at the Hawdh, meaning the pool of Kawthar on the day of judgment. Now this, brothers and sisters, is the hadith, as I said, spoken to us by Rasulullah about his brother, about his cousin, about his successor, about his son-in-law, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhim wassalatu wassalam. And if you think about the words used by Rasulullah, which I want to try and unpack tonight in the time that I want to speak to you this evening, if you were to sit and reflect on this hadith, you understand, first of all, where is this hadith coming from? It's coming from the most eloquent of human beings, the most perfect of human beings, Insan al-Kamil, the perfect man, the most truthful of all speakers, the one whom even the mushrikeen of Quraysh would call as-sadiq, the truthful man, the one whom the Quran portrays as ma yantiku anil hawa in huwa illa wahyun yuha, that he only speaks revelation. He doesn't exaggerate. He doesn't take somebody and elevate their status beyond the level that it should be at. Nor does he ever denigrate and diminish and insult and mock anybody, except if they deserve it and if Allah has ordered it from him. So he's a man of balance, a man of eloquence. If Imam Ali's compilation of his lectures and sermons is called Nahjul Balagha, the peak of eloquence, and he is a student of Rasulullah, you can only imagine the level of eloquence of Rasulullah himself. Now, as our scholars tell us, and this is by our senior scholars' opinion what I mean, they say that if we had no other hadith from Rasulullah about the status of Imam Ali alayhi salam, if there was no other hadith about Imam Ali, the hadith of Manzalat, about him being like Harun to Musa, the hadith of the city, Ali being the door to the city of the gate, which is the door of the city of knowledge, which is Rasulullah. If we had none of those other hadith, we only had one hadith to categorize and classify Imam Ali alayhi salam with, this hadith which I read out to you tonight would be sufficient to prove the greatness in every aspect of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wassalam. Every hadith was to be burnt, thrown into the fire, and this hadith were to remain, this hadith would be enough for you and I to recognize the status and the greatness and the merit and the worth of the commander of the faithful. And it's a sad reality, brothers and sisters, that this ummah, the 1.8 billion Muslims that make up the Muslim ummah today, stretching from Africa to Asia, stretching from the North Pole to South Africa, it's a shame that the ummah lost out greatly by ignoring this man, by going to the others after the death of Rasulullah, by gathering at Saqifa after the demise of Rasulullah, when they had a man who, as the hadith says, Aliun ma'al Quran wa al-Quranu ma'ali. They went to people who didn't know the Quran. They went to people who women would have to correct them in the understanding of the Quran. Women who were very illiterate and very basic in their knowledge would have to correct those who came after Rasulullah. And it's a sad reality, brothers and sisters, but at least we can hold our head high in humbleness, not in pride or arrogance, and say that we, alhamdulillah, are the Shias of Ali. And this is a dua that we should remember every day. Alhamdulillah, alladhi ja'alana min al-muttamassikina bi walayati Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wassalam. That we need to thank Allah, brothers and sisters, every day and every night, that He has made us, He has allowed us to be guided to the walaya of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wassalam. Now, coming back to the hadith, I want to analyze this tonight and add some beauty into it through some of the ayat of the Quran. Is again where, let me repeat the hadith, where Allah's messenger says, Aliun ma'al Quran wal Quranu ma'ali. I'll leave the second part for the last part of our discussion, because there are two separate discussions that we need to understand about Ali and the Quran alayhi salam. Now, what did Allah's messenger say? He said, Aliun ma'al Quran, which if I were to translate that in a very simplistic English, it would be Ali is with the Quran. And then the Prophet did not stop there. He said, "Wal Quranu ma Ali," and the Quran is with Ali. Now, our scholars, for example, the great Ayatollah Al-Udhma Sheikh Wahid Khorasani, may Allah preserve and protect him, and all of our ulama and all of the maraja, he has in one of his Dars al-Kharij, his high levels of Islamic seminary studies, when he looked at this hadith and when he's analyzing it for his students, he made it a point to say that, you know, this hadith of Rasulullah, it was actually not, quote unquote, needed to say the whole thing. Meaning, had Allah's messenger just said, Aliyun ma'ul Quran, this would have been enough. But the Prophet repeated, Wal Quranu ma'a Ali. Now, let me make you understand this in an easier way, maybe. For example, let's just say there's a father and he has two sons. Their names are Hassan and Hussein, as an example. And one day, after the COVID virus has subsided and we're able to go into the centers and we're able to go into the malls and we're able to have a normal life once again, the father goes with his two boys, Hassan and Hussein, to the mall. And he meets a friend of his in the mall that he hasn't seen for the last year because of COVID or because of whatever. And the friends are, the two friends are talking, the two parents or fathers are talking, and the father who bumps into his friend with the two boys says to his friend, he says, who are these two people? Who are these two kids with you? And the father turns to them and he says, this is Hassan and his brother Hussein. It would be redundant for that father then to say, and that is Hussein and his brother Hassan. Because by the father saying, this is Hassan and his brother Hussein, automatically your brain will understand, well, if Hassan is the brother of Hussein, logic means that Hussein is also the brother of Hassan. So the father would not say, this is Hassan and his brother Hussein, and that's Hussein and his brother Hassan. That's preposterous. It's a waste of words. It's a waste of time. It's redundant to say that. Because one sentence automatically acknowledges the other sentence. They are related to one another. You understand one part of it when you understand the other part of the sentence. So if that makes sense to you, if that's clear enough, if I go back to the words of Rasulullah, Aliyun ma'al haq wal, Aliyun ma'al Quran wal Quranu ma'ali, does that not seem like repetition? The example I just gave you seems to be that this would be a repetitive statement from the Prophet. But I told you in the beginning that وَمَا يَنْتِكُ عَنِ الْهَوَى, the Prophet does not speak out of desire or wish or, you know, family ties or emotional attachment or sentimental convictions. He's a man who speaks what Allah wants him to speak. He doesn't waste words. He doesn't mince his words. He speaks the truth. And in the most clearest of fashions. So is it illogical? Can you and I say that, na'udhu billah, what the Prophet was saying was illogical? It was a waste of words. He could have just said to the Sahaba, Aliyun ma'ul Quran. And the companions would have understood it without a doubt. Because if Ali is with the Quran, then the opposite also makes sense, that the Quran is also with Ali. But here is where our scholars, may Allah protect and preserve them, they give us a very beautiful, very nuanced point. Now, is this the only meaning of the hadith? No, I don't say that what I'm going to tell you tonight is the only interpretation of the hadith. There may have been others given, there may be more that come in the future. Other scholars may, with their level of insight into Islam and the Quran and the hadith, they may come in the future and give us many more glimpses of what this verse, of what this hadith rather means to us, and how we have to understand Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. But for tonight, let me leave you, or let me give you one glimpse in one of the nuggets of teachings of Ali Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, of maybe why Rasulullah said, Aliyun ma'al Quran wal Quranu ma'ali. Now, if you look at that sentence, if unfortunately I don't have it on screen, but if you were to look at the sentence, Ali starts the sentence, huwa al-awwalu, and Ali is at the end of the sentence, huwa al-akhiru, and in the middle is what? In the middle is Quran. Ali ma'al Quran, wal Quranu ma'a Ali. Ali is with the Quran, and the Quran is with Ali. So on the two ends, you have Ali, awwalu wal akhiru, and in the middle, you have the Quran. You know, if you look at the world that we live in today, brothers and sisters, you look at everything. You look at maybe your smartphone. If you're watching this majlis tonight on your smartphone, or your television, or your computer, whatever it is, or you look at a book, you know, a book, for example, have the front cover and then the back cover. And in the middle are pages, right? The pages are the details, but the cover is important because the cover, the front and back cover of a book, they'll give the book beauty, right? And that's why, although we have a saying in English, don't judge a book by its cover. But I think that's a misnomer, you know, and those of you who know me, you know that in my 20 years of publishing books that we spend hundreds of hours in designing one book cover, because the cover will get the attention and the attraction of the person seeing the book on a shelf. So the cover of a book matters. It tells you the name of the book, tells you the author. It might give you a blurb about the content of the book. And then the back of the book will have details of the book. It'll have the price of the book. You're only really looking for the inside of that book, right? The text, what is the material? University students, you spend thousands of dollars on your textbooks. You don't care about how nice the cover looks. You want the information in the book. But the cover has to be there to protect the book, to give you information. Well, what is in the book? SubhanAllah. Ali is like that. If Ali ma al-haq wa al-haq ma Ali, Ali is at the front and the back. He is giving beauty to the Quran. And that's not an extremist statement. That's not a statement of ghulu, of extremism. No, I mean that Ali is giving beauty to the book because the Quran is silent. The Quran does not speak, brothers and sisters. The Quran is black on white. But Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he becomes the walking Quran, the talking Quran, when he embodies the Quran, when he lives the Quran, when he preaches the Quran, when he exemplifies the Quran in his life, he gives beauty to the book of Allah. He beautifies the Quran more than any painter or calligrapher or artist could ever do. And so you and I see this in everything in our lives. Your smartphone, it has glass on the front and it has a glass on the back. And inside, between the two sheets of glass, there's all the technology, all the 5G chip, the Wi-Fi chip, the memory, the RAM, the battery, all of the internals are protected through the glass that covers the front and back of your phone. Ali alayhi salam is like that. He's protecting the Quran. He's not only beautifying the Quran, but he's a protector of the Quran. He's safeguarding the Quran from corruption. And you know, there is a hadith that even the non-Shias acknowledge that Rasulullah is quoted in the hadith as saying, when he was speaking to Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam, he said that, Ya Ali, that you will struggle and you will be determined in fighting against people to preserve the understanding of the Quran, the ta'wil of the Quran, as I had to fight to ensure the tanzeel, the revelation of the Quran. Meaning that had it not been for Imam Ali alayhi salam and obviously the imams to come after him, the meaning of the Quran would have been lost. It would have been gone with the wind, so to speak. But he has preserved the book. He is the preserver of the Quran, brothers and sisters. Whether people like it or not, whether people want to say this is extreme talk. Yes, when it comes to Ali, we are extreme because Allah is, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is extreme in the Quran. And I'll give you some examples as we move on in this discussion. And so as Allah's messenger says, by starting with Ali, Ali ma'al Quran, and ending with Ali, wal Quranu ma'a Ali. He's, I think, showing us, in my understanding, and what our scholars have given to us, that the Quran, the interpretation, the elucidation, the commentary of Quran, the understanding of the Quran starts and ends with Ali, alayhi salam. You know, in English, we have a saying, the buck stops here, meaning that whatever is said, that is the way that things will be. And other than Imam Ali alayhi salam, nobody in the ummah can ever come forth and claim and say with any level of certainty and confidence that they are the ones who protected and safeguarded and implemented the Quran. And that's why even we see in the battles that Amir al-Mu'mineen would face in the 4 years after this open khilafat he was given, that they would be in the heat of a war and it would be time for a salah. And he would want to stop the army from fighting so they could pray. And companions would say to him, "Ya Abu al-Hasan, that this salah at this time in the middle of a war, what are you thinking?" And he would say that this is what we are fighting for. This is the salah that we are fighting for, because the salah is a Quranic precept, brothers and sisters. So Imam Ali alayhi salam, he didn't protect the Quran by writing it and putting it in a book and putting it in his pocket or in a bag and carrying it around with him. No, he protected the living Quran, the real Quran. The message of the Quran, the implementation of the Quran is what our master, whose birth we mark tonight, that is what he was protecting. Now, let me go back to the hadith and mention another aspect of this. As I said, that Allah's messenger, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, is quoted as saying, "Aliyun ma'al Quran, wal Quranu ma'ali." That Ali is with the Quran and the Quran is with Ali. But one of the questions that we should be asking, or that people should ask, is what is this Quran which the Prophet is alluding to? What is the Quran that the Prophet is mentioning here? Is it a physical Quran that all of you have on your shelves at home? Right? We all have a copy of the Quran at home in Arabic and maybe with translation. Is this what the Messenger of Allah was saying, that Ali is with this physical Quran? He walks around with it. He carries it with him wherever he goes. So when he's on the camel, he can open up and read a couple of verses and you know, do the Khatam al-Quran on horseback or on the back of a camel. Is it the app on our smartphone, the Quran? Is that what Rasulullah is saying, that Ali is with the Quran that the people at the end of time will have on their smartphone, the app that they'll just download it on the Google Play Store or the iOS Store, and they will download the Quran? That's the Quran that is with Ali? Is that what the Prophet meant? That Ali would just walk around with the Quran in his pocket? What is this withness? When we say Ali is with the Quran, with, what does that word with actually mean? This is a very integral part of us understanding, brothers and sisters, this hadith of the Rasul, and at least at one level of our understanding, that what we can grasp of the words of Rasulullah. What does it mean when I say X is with Y? For example, if you say, I'm going to the store with my friend, or I see Ali, he's with Hassan. This with in English, what they call ma'a, in Arabic, it has at least four or five different meanings. And don't worry, I'm not going to bore you with a whole course in Arabic grammar and semantics. That's not my goal tonight, but I just want you to understand that this ma'a has at least four or five meanings in Arabic. It could be in matter of time and space, meaning physically. So I say that, for example, this pen is with me. This pen is in my possession. It's with me right now. Or as I said, you could say Hassan is with Hussein, right? So there's a matter of time and space. They're at the mall, or they're at the park, or they're at home listening to the majlis together. So there's that meaning in the Arabic. It can also mean after some time. So something happens, and then after some time, something else happens. So Allah says in the Quran, "Inna ma'al usri yusra." What, you know, that ma'a, it doesn't mean time or space, mean physically. Indeed, you know, "Inna ma'al usri," indeed with difficulty is ease. No, here it means after some time. "Inna ma'al usri yusra." Indeed, after difficulty, after some time of the difficulty, then ease will come. So something happens, time passes, and then something else occurs. That's another meaning of ma'a. But that would not make sense if the hadith says Aliyun ma'al Quran, right? That would not fit with the definition. And so another meaning out of the four or five meanings that our scholars of Arabic grammar say about the word ma'a, this particle, is that it can mean a thorough, comprehensive knowledge of something. So what do we mean there? This means that they are working together with one another. They're guiding one another in a way. Ali is guiding the Quran, because the Quran, as I said, is just black on white. It does not speak on its own. It does not implement itself. Somebody has to read and understand and implement the Quran. And so Ali learns the Quran and Ali implements the Quran, alayhi salam. He guides the Quran and the Quran guides Imam Ali, alayhi salam. It becomes a reciprocal. It becomes one helping the other. Ali is learning the Quran. Ali is knowing the Quran. Ali is understanding the Quran, alayhi salam. And the Quran is learning Ali. The Quran is understanding Imam Ali. The Quran is being able to figure out who this man is. And you see this in the life of Imam Ali alayhi salam. I think this is alluded to in the poetry as well. You look at the verse in chapter 5, number 55, if I'm not mistaken, where Allah talks about who your wali is. Innama waliyukumullah. Indeed, your wali is only Allah and the messenger. And alladhina amanu, alladhina yuqimuna salata wa yutuna zakat wa hum raki'un. Your wali is none other than Allah, the messenger. And the third one are those people who believe, who establish the prayer, and who give the zakat while they're in a state of ruku. And we know from historical basis that nobody did this act of sadaqah in ruku except for Imam Ali alayhi salam. So he was the one who did the act, and then the verse comes down. So it's not that he read, so keep this in mind, brothers and sisters. It's not that Imam Ali one day read the Quran and he read this verse. Oh, look, innama waliyukumullah. It's those who give charity in ruku. So let me go and do that now. No, it's actually the opposite. He did the act and then the Quran comes down. It's as if the Quran is being revealed through the actions of Ali alayhi salam. He does an act, Allah reveals. It's not that Allah reveals and Imam Ali follows. No, Imam Ali is not following the Quran at this level. He is the leader and the Quran is the follower. Subhanallah. You see another example of Ali leading and the Quran taking the back seat when he goes on the hijrah. When the Prophet rather goes on hijrah. Prophet leaves Mecca to go to Medina. And what happens? Imam Ali sleeps in the bed of Rasulullah. As you all know the story. I won't bore you with the narrative. But what happens is that Allah, when Imam Ali is in the bed of the Prophet and Jibra'il and Mikael are sitting at the front and the back of the bed, watching over Ali and being extremely proud of who Ali is, Allah says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. There are people who sell their souls for the pleasure of Allah. Now again, this verse did not come down after the event, so Ali could read it and say, okay, I'm going to do this now. No, Ali did the act, alayhi salam, and then the verse comes down. So the Quran is learning from Ali. And we know Surah Al-Insan, chapter 76, Surah Al-Dahr, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. We feed the poor person and the orphan and the war captive only for the pleasure of God. We seek no reward nor thanks. They do the act, they feed the poor, they give the food, they go to bed hungry, and then Allah reveals Surah Al-Insan to Rasulullah, not the other way around. So this is what I mean, that the Quran guides Ali sometimes, but there are times when Ali guides the Quran. Let me go to the second part of the hadith, and I'll conclude in the next 5 minutes, that Allah's messenger then says that لَنْ يَفْتَرِكَ حَتَّى يَرِذَ عَلَيَ الْحَوْ, that these two will never separate, and they will meet me at the fountain together. Now you and I know that sometimes two things or two people are going on a journey and eventually they'll get to a point where they have to separate. For example, you're going on the bus or you're taking the LRT to work or to school and you get on at your stop and maybe a friend gets on a stop later and you're going to a particular destination and your friend is going maybe a couple of blocks away. So you will get off at your destination, go to school or go to work or go to the bank, whatever you need to do. And then your friend will continue on the journey and he will get off or she will get off wherever they're going. But then there are times where two things are going together and they continue and they cannot be separated. In our life, that doesn't happen because with us, we always separate. A child is born. They live with their parents for 18, 20, 25 years. They get married. They're on their own. Then they get married. They're with their spouse. They're with their children. One of them will pass away. There'll be a separation. And that cycle goes on and on. Very rarely can we say that two things in this world continue parallel with one another until the end of time. There are a few in the metaphysical world, in the spiritual realm, like the Quran and Ahlul Bayt. As the Prophet said, they will never separate from one another. But here in the hadith for tonight, as we mark the birth of Imam Ali alayhi salam, Rasulullah says, لَنْ يَفْتَرِقَ حَتَّى يَرِدَ عَلَيَّ الْحَوْذِ. The two will never. Rasulullah said, لَنْ. Again, I don't want to go into Arabic grammar and the semantics too much, but لَنْ in Arabic, لَمْ نُون. لَنْ is a particle used to negate, to say that this will not happen. But there's a difference in Arabic because this word lan means that it'll never happen. So as an example, in the Quran, when Nabi Musa, Prophet Moses alayhi salam, when his community, the children of Israel, when they don't believe Nabi Musa, they say, we will believe in you when we can see Allah with our two eyes. And so Nabi Musa knows this is not possible, but he takes their request to Allah. And what does Allah tell Musa to tell his people? He says, Ya Musa, lan tarani. Lan meaning you will never see me. Not today, not tomorrow, not next year, not at the end of the world, not on day of judgment, not when you're in Jannah. You will never see me because it is impossible for us to see Allah. It will not happen. It cannot happen. Rasulullah used that same particle, lan, lan yaftarika. These two, meaning Ali and the Quran, لَنْ يَفْتَرِكَ they will never separate from one another حَتَّى يَرِدَ عَلَيَّ الْحَوْضِ until they will meet me and they'll stay together until we meet together at the pool of Kawthar. So there's a lot in there. I'm going to be very brief in the next 3 minutes and conclude, but that shows us, brothers and sisters, as I said, that had we had no other hadith about Imam Ali's merit and worth and status, this would have been enough because he says they will never separate. Not the physical book again, not the Quran that is printed, you know, in Saudi Arabia or the app. No, I mean the actual Quran, the actual meaning of the Quran. Those will never deviate from Ali. So can Ali make a mistake in life? Impossible. Can Ali ever make a wrong judgment by appointing a governor maybe where he shouldn't have? Not probable, not even possible to think about. When it comes to the Battle of Jamal, where Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha launched a war against Imam Ali, along with people like Talha and Zubair, can Imam Ali be on the wrong? Never, because he is with the Quran, and the Quran is never wrong. In the war against Muawiyah, la'natullah alay, can Imam Ali be misjudging or misunderstanding the situation? Impossible, because he is the Quran. He is the embodiment of the teachings of the Quran. Let me end with this, brothers and sisters, that this Quran that is with Ali, that will stay with him forever, that will never depart from Imam Ali. If it's not the physical Quran, what is the Quran? What is the qualities of this Quran that Ali is with and he is, that we should take honor and pride in a respectable way, not in an egotistical, maniacal way, in a very humble way, that we take Imam Ali alayhi salam as our Imam. And we say that we are the ghulam of Ali, that we are the servants of Ali alayhi salam. What Quran is this? I'll give you two verses and I'll conclude for tonight. To show you the Quran has the status of the Quran, but more importantly, the status of the man who is with the Quran, who is the protector of the Quran, who is the embodiment of the Quran. Go to chapter 13, Surah Ar-Ra'd in your Quran, verse number 31. 1331, very easy to remember. 13 flipped around, it's 31. Verse number, Surah 13, 13th of Rajab. You take 31, you flip it around, you get 13, 13th of Rajab, the day of the birth of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وَلَوْ أَنَّ قُرَانًا سُيِّرَتْ بِهِ الْجِبَالِ أَوْ قُتِّئَتْ بِهِ الْأَرْضِ أَوْ كُلِّمَا بِهِ الْمَوْتَى. If at all through this Quran, mountains were able to be moved from their place, or the earth were to be ripped and torn apart, or the dead in the graves were to be able to made to be to speak, all of this would only be possible through this Quran. Why? As an explanation of this verse, because the believers would then be compelled, having no choice but to submit to the orders of Allah. It would be the Hujjatul Kamila, the perfect final argument of Allah. This, brothers and sisters, is Ali alayhi salam, the one whose birth we celebrate tonight. He's not a normal man. If he is with the Quran and he lives the Quran and he embodies the Quran and he teaches the Quran and he manifests the Quran, Allah says about this Quran that this Quran, it would have the potential to move mountains from its place. It would have the ability to rip the earth open. This Quran has the power to bring the dead to life and allow them to speak. And if Ali is with this book, guess what that means, brothers and sisters, that our Imam, the one that we love and cherish and adore and follow and call ourselves a Shia to Ali, he has these qualities within himself as well. Bi-ithnillah, by the permission given to him by Allah. I'll end with this last verse and we will call it a night. And that is from chapter 16, Surah An-Nahl, the chapter of the bee, verse number 89. Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. Subhanallah. Allah says, we have sent down on you meaning the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we have sent down upon you the book. And Allah says, what is this book? تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. It is an exposition of everything. Everything that you and I need for guidance, to keep away from error, to know the good and the bad, ma'ruf and munkar, the keys to happiness in life, and what will cause us misery in this world and the world to come, is within the Quran. But which Quran? Is it the physical Quran on the bookshelf, or is it the Quran that is Imam Ali alayhi salam? And Allah doesn't end there, and I'll end with this. He says, it is three more traits. Wahudan, وَرَحْمَةً وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. The Quran is a huda, a guidance, and a rahma, a mercy, and a glad tidings for the Muslims, those who submit to Allah in totality. Subhanallah, brothers and sisters, as I end this majlis for tonight, this is our Imam, Ali alayhi salam, and we say with no fakhr, with no pride or arrogance that we follow him, but we humble our head and we bow our head to Allah and say, Ya Allah, give us the ability to know this man, to follow this man, to know the Quran, to know Ali, to know the both of them, because they will never separate. They will be together for all of eternity. He's a guide. He's a rahmah. He's a good tiding for us. He is Naba al-Azim. He is Faruq al-A'zam. He is Siddiq al-Akbar. You know, other people call themselves with the title As-Siddiq. Imam Ali makes it clear that he is Siddiq al-Akbar. Other companions say, my nickname is Farooq. No, actually, your name is not Farooq. The title of Imam Ali is Faruq al-A'zam, as the Ziyara clearly tells us. And this is the man whose birth anniversary, my brothers and sisters, we mark tonight. Extend my congratulations to each and every one of you and to your families, to the entire Muslim Ummah. I extend my congratulations to the ulama, the Maraji Taqlid, who are serving during the ghiba of our 12th Imam. And most importantly, I send my congratulations and felicitations and my deep, hearty prayers to Imam Al-Hujjah, Ajalallahu Ta'ala Farajuhu Sharif, our awaited savior on this great anniversary